Motion carries 24 to 0. The next item on our agenda is proposal number 182, referred to Public Safety and Criminal Justice Committee. Chairman Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Proposal 182, 2021, approves an additional appropriation totaling $3,311,371 in the 2021 budget of the Information Service Agency, Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, and the Office of Health and Office of Public Health and Safety, and the General Consolidated County General Funds to support a collective community's approach to public safety. Kathy Davis, the System Advisor to the Mayor's Office, IMPD Chief Randall Taylor and Deputy Chief Chris Bailey, Lorna Rodriguez, Director of the Office of Public Health and Safety, and Elliot Patrick, the Director of Information Services Agency, all read through a PowerPoint presentation to my committee back in June. Deputy Chief Bailey stated that IMPD's goals are to reduce violent crime, response time, track and report racial equity, improve community trust, and reduce complaints against officers, and non-law enforcement and behavioral health response. Chief Bailey stated that their portion of the appropriations for data preparation and quality for $400,000, officers' early warning system for $170,000, and a data team for $220,000 for 6 months. Ms. Rodriguez gave an update on the AIC. She stated that their portion of the appropriation, which is $681,371, which includes 3 medics, RNs, 2.8 housing staff, 3 full-time clinicians, and benefits and housing overhead allocation. Mr. Patrick of ISA said that his portion of the fiscal is covering 2 pieces of software that Chief Bailey mentioned. He said that their total will be $730,000, which will be for a situation awareness and community interaction system and technology infrastructure and hardware investment. Director Rodriguez discussed the community programming portion of the fiscal, which is $1.1 million that will go towards domestic violence reduction, victim response and resource services and advocates, mental health services, dispatch and trauma resources, juvenile intervention and rehabilitation services, which consists of grant programs, youth-focused rehabilitation camp, and at-risk youth programs. Councilor Evans moved to amend Proposal 182 by striking the ISA portion and the IMPD portion of the funding proposal. The motion to amend failed by vote of 3-8, with Councilors Arnay, Bain, Dilk, Mowry, Boots, Jay Evans, Carlino, and Robinson casting negative votes. Councilor Mowry moved, seconded by Councilor Boots, to send Proposal 182 to the full council. They do pass recommendation. Mr. President, the motion carried by vote of 11-0. I so move.
The motion has been properly moved and seconded. I do understand that Councilor Ethan Evans has submitted a motion to amend Proposal Number 182, 2021. That should be included in all councilors' packets. Councilor Ethan Evans.
Thank you, President Oseley. I'm going to go ahead and retract my motion to amend at this time.
Thank you very much, Councilor Ethan Evans. I also understand that Councilor Anae has also submitted a motion to amend Proposal Number 182-2021. That should also be included in all councilors' packets. Councilor Anae.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move to amend Section 2, Proposal Number 182-2021, by deleting the language that is stricken through and adding the underlined language to read as follows, Section 2. The underlined addition will read, such as a gunshot detection system and mobile and static license plate readers. So Section 2 will fully read, the Information Services Agency requests additional appropriations totaling $730,000 in the Information Services Agency Fund and Character 3 for the purposes of funding public safety technology, infrastructure, and hardware investments, such as a gunshot detection system and mobile and static license plate readers. Mr. President, I so move.
Second.
This motion has been properly moved and seconded. Comments? Chairman Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. President. As a sponsor of this proposal, I ask my colleagues to not support this amendment. I do respect Councilor Anae's proposal and his motion, and Councilor Mowry seconded. However, I would like to hear from the Chief or Deputy Chief Adams on the aspects of this amendment. Mr. President, my request. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, counselors.
Welcome, Deputy Chief.
Thank you for the proposed amendment. We and IPD have strategically over the last few years really tried to strategically implement our technology. As you know, we have introduced a new CAD. We've introduced body cameras. And as Assistant Chief Bailey discussed, we are really trying to become more focused on really dealing with the criminal element. One of the things this proposal talks about is ShotSpotter, right? And so we've looked at that technology. It's an expensive technology. When you look at that technology today, or at least a couple years ago, it was a $250,000 investment plus another $200,000 per year to maintain. It's a software with technology that triangulates gunshots by in a 3-mile contiguous area. So that technology, without the enhancement around our CGIC, for example, without the enhancement of our gun detectives, without the availability of surveillance cameras, just makes it really a very expensive product to implement today. Now, we continue to look at technology. We continue to evaluate that. More nimble technology. We work with our Deputy Chief of Administration to prioritize our technology. And we're looking at emerging technology that can go mobile, for example, instead of having to get with a business owner to place a sensor on a building, for example. We're looking at maybe placing some gunshot detection equipment on our mobile trailers. That is obviously much more cost-effective. Again, these are continuing conversations we have with ISA. When we look at these technologies, we have a chief technology officer, and we try to evaluate those technologies as they come in. I just counseled the council today, because these technologies, one, they're expensive, and they require a lot of uplift. And so as we try to refine our CAD and the data technology, our data analyst that we're trying to hire through this fiscal, we want to be mindful of that. One of the issues or one of the alignments in the fiscal allows us to really look at our data and really analyze our data. We talk about data all the time, and the police department, just like many city agencies, is rich in data. But what we lack is enough analysis to really pinpoint where we should send our resources and be effective with that. So, again, I can appreciate the amendments, and certainly it's technology that we continue to look at. But I think at this time, it just makes it very difficult for us to be strategic and really be efficient with this kind of proposal.
Mr. President.
Chairman Robinson.
Thank you, Deputy Chief. Thank you, Mr. President. Deputy Chief, is it fair to say that these two aspects of this amendment, the department wouldn't support at this time?
That is correct.
It's
continued to be technology we look at, but at this time, it just would not be fiscally responsible.
Thank you, Deputy Chief. Again, Mr. President, as a sponsor of the proposal, I'll ask our colleagues not to support this amendment as we move forward to a vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there additional comments? Councilor Ney.
Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Chief. Should I assume that's the official position of the Annapolis Police Chief and then Assistant Annapolis Police Chief? And if so, are they present in the chamber?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chief. You know, we talk about too expensive. The city of Annapolis, over a very short period of time, has spent over $17 million, $17 million to combat crime in this city. And we are seeing crime the likes of which the city of Indianapolis has never seen in the history since our city was founded. And tonight we're coming back for a little over $3 million more, so I'm concerned if somebody says it's too expensive. And I believe that while these proposals are putting money at initiatives that, frankly, we've thrown money at before and they haven't seemed to work, I believe that looking at these new technologies, the gunshot detection systems, and the mobile and static license plate readers are important for our city, because these dollars are not providing the immediate relief that the citizens of the city of Indianapolis need. And I believe that these technologies would, in fact, provide the immediate relief that the citizens of the city of Indianapolis would need. And so I would ask my colleagues to support the amendment, as I believe it's very important to combating the public safety crisis that our city has been experiencing for some time. I yield back.
Councilman, if I could comment, you know, I have deep respect for you, and I understand truly where you're coming from. However, in our research of ShotSpotter in particular, I'm not afraid to spend money. However, I think it would be wise for us to hold back on this particular investment at this time. I think there is emerging technology that is coming forth that will do as good a job, if not better, at a lesser cost to the citizens of Indianapolis, and that's where I stand.
Thank you, Chief. Welcome. Chairman Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Again, my final comment, as we heard from the Deputy Chief and our Chief of our city, we'd ask at this point for our colleagues to not support this amendment going forward. Thank you.
Any additional comments from councilors? Seeing none, I will ask if there is anyone in the audience who would like to speak to proposal number 182. Stop. Very good. And anyone who's speaking, you will have 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, President Ossoli, and to the other counselors and ladies and gentlemen. I greet you in the name of my Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. You probably know him by his Christian name, Jesus the Christ. I'm Minister Dave Rozelle, and I serve as pastor and teacher for the Way of Yeshua Fellowship and Ministries here in Indianapolis. Though I served in a number of capacities since retiring after a 20-year career as a U.S. Navy broadcast journalist, including minister for community outreach and media services at Light of the World Christian Church, executive director of Offender Aid and Restoration of Marion County, case manager in Marion County Drug Court 14 under the Honorable Judge David Shaheed, Executive Director of the Indianapolis Commission on African American Males, and a Special Assistant to the Public Safety Director Earl Morgan, among several other positions of service. But this evening I stand before you representing the Veterans Association of African Descendants, or VAD. We're here to speak to Fiscal Ordinance Proposal Number 182 in response to Mayor Hogsett's plan to spend an additional $3.3 million in funding to address our rising violence in our city. As veterans, we don't disagree with spending these funds. Let me be clear about that. Our concern is with the distribution of the funds. Specifically, we challenged the statement in the mayor's press release announcing that read, and I quote, "This is going to build upon a violence reduction strategy that balances community-based programming with a dynamic law enforcement approach."
Sir.
The reason why, beg your pardon.
I'll give you just a few more seconds, but you need to wrap up.
Yeah. The reason why we're concerned is because as we analyze these funds, a full $1.5 million is going to IMPD for investment, whereas in community investment is $390,000, or 11% of the $1.7 million for the community.
Sir,
we don't
sir,
see balance
sir.
There.
We'll have to end it here. Thank you.
Well, okay.
Yeah,
I saw everybody else stand up here and say everything they had to say, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but I only get two
sir,
minutes.
Sir, we have 2 minutes. Thank you, sir.
Well, did you all understand what I said?
Yes.
All I ask for you to do is consider spending more on community programs instead of just giving it all to the police.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. President.
Councilman Mowry.
Are we hearing on the amendment right now?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're clear on that. So it's on the amendment, not the proposal itself.
So that was not on the proposal? That was just on the amendment?
Yes, sir. We are still in the amendment.
So I'll have a chance to speak again on the proposal?
You will have a chance to speak again on the proposal, sir. Yes. So just to be clear, we are speaking on the amendment, and we have a two-minute limit. So please.
Okay. I was not going to speak on the amendment.
You're going to speak on the amendment?
No, I was not.
Okay. So this is for...
I'll wait until...
Yeah.
I take two shots. It's Larry Vaughn, please.
Mr. Vaughn, hold on a second. Let's be clear. Mr. Vaughn.
Yes.
You're going to speak to the amendment.
I'm going to be germane, Mr. President, being germane tonight. But, you know, I'm not surprised, but these people who are here talking about defunding the police, it's already been done. When this council passed proposal number 112 and created the Office of the Health and Safety, added on to IMPD. So we can look forward to, over the years, more and more of the so-called budget of IMPD, which does not exist. It's a fiction. IMPD has no budget. All their money, after it's appropriated by this council, is dipped into the mayor's general fund to do what he
Councilor,
wants to do.
I'm sorry, Mr. Vaughn.
I'm sorry, but I just want to.
Is this?
It is. I'm trying to come to
the point
right now.
Please get back to it.
Now.
The amendment.
I just wanted to say that they've already defunded the police. As you're here tonight to protest because they've created this situation where they're trying to.
Mr. President, are there some comments on the amendment
on,
somewhere in there?
Public health. Okay. They can never do it.
Thank you, Mr. Vaughn.
Never care a bunch of.
Thank you, Mr. Vaughn.
Self-imposed impairments.
My name is Connie Thompson. I'm an organizer and with the Indianapolis branch of the Party for Socialism and Liberation. And I want to say that this amendment to this bill does not fundamentally change this bill in any sort of way. When people, tens of thousands of people, hit the streets last year, they didn't say defund the police except for surveillance equipment. They said defund the police. They didn't say defund the police except for gunshot detectors. They said defund the police. They were clear and concise and to the point. And that point is being deliberately ignored. It's what is happening here in this room is an abortion of democracy. We aren't being represented. The majority of the people in this council are Democrats, and they're supposed to be the ones who represent the kinds of people who marched last year, the people who are progressively minded, who want to see positive change. But we're here discussing an amendment over the minutia of what exactly this money is going, what exactly surveillance equipment is going to be spent, whereas the message in the first place was clear. Defund the police.
Hello, my name is Belinda Snowden. I'm just a community member. As it has been said, I was one of the people that was out here last year marching, saying defund the IMPD. I think we should abolish it, but we'll just go. Okay, we'll just go with defunding for now. But I am shocked that the deputy chief and actual Chief Randall Taylor is saying that they do not want Amendment 182. Is that what I'm hearing? Okay, so I'm surprised. But, like, my fear is that if they don't get this money, what is the money going to go towards? Is it going to go back to the department? Because they don't need it. Like, I'm seeing too many houseless members on the streets. That money can be used to help them out. It can be used to help out our schools and stuff. So, I mean, you're shaking your head. Do you have something to say? Or? Oh, okay. So it's going to keep going to the police to harass? Oh, okay. Yeah. Help me understand. So, I mean, that's all I got to say. Defund IPD. So,
Hello. My name is Jonathan Howe. I wanted to talk about the amendment. It's my understanding that IMPD pretty much just said that they don't even want to spend this money on this technology. I just had a question for the counselor who's kind of pushing this technology, Counselor Anae, if that's correct. Hopefully I pronounced that right. Sorry, I served in the military. I want to know, have you served in the military or the police department or the fire department?
Point of order, Mr. President.
Sir.
I just want to know what expertise he had, that why he was supporting this technology. I want to know if it's based off any service.
Sir, actually, your time here is to make a comment. We're not questioning the counsel.
Oh, we're not allowed to ask questions?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, lords and ladies of the court. If it pleases the crown, I'll...
Thank you.
Sinclair Williams, proud resident of District 17. Property taxpayer on commercial and residential properties. I'm actually here to speak positively to the amendment that was proposed, particularly the tag reader, license plate reader. Why? Because it could generate revenue. That should be the focus. Generating revenue. We know how to spend it. Let's generate it. And if we're spending it, maybe it's a good idea. Perhaps it's a good idea to spend it in a manner that generates more revenue. Thank you.
Wait a second. I just want to piggyback or I guess kind of comment on that real quick. A lot of that revenue is coming from black and brown bodies. So the police coming to giving more money to them is only increasing, or not increasing, but well, actually, I guess we can talk about the increasing of how the more money we give to IMPD, we're actually seeing an increase in black people being and black people being abused. You know, so to me, it doesn't make sense as to why we're up here actively wanting to give more money to them. What we are seeing where, like, what that's leading to. And not only that, last year, I don't know if y'all noticed that, because this is straight from IMPD's database, but not only did the amount of black people being murdered go up, also the amount of white people being abused went down as well. So yeah, I'm gonna just say, defund the police. Say no to Proposal 182. Care for the community. Don't keep giving money to IMPD when they're not doing anything with it except abusing the community. Your community is begging. We are begging and pleading y'all to care about us, not to care about a group of people, a gang, basically, that is abusing us, killing us, that is using our bodies to create this revenue that he was talking about. So, yeah. Thank you.
How y'all doing today? I am Dre John Reed. Y'all are trying to amend, or whatever you're trying to do. I don't understand the logistics or the rigmarole, what's going on. But the camera equipment, what's going on is for, what is it, license plate readers? It's some people that own cars who had a pass, and that's going to continue to hurt us. It's not going to help us. Surveillance, that's not going to help us either. That's not used to help us. Y'all just want the money so y'all can do your other endeavors. I don't understand what's y'all. Basically, y'all just blue falcons. Any of my military friends that was in the military understand that. Y'all blue falcons with the IMPD. Y'all just want more money just like the rest, just like Eli Lilly out west. Yeah, it's not working. So, I just came to put my, I know it's not going to change, but I just came to put my input in. Y'all have a nice day, BFs.
Hello, my name is Curry Hawes. I'm also just a community member, but I am here with the Indiana Youth Commission. I am against this amendment, and I just have a small comment. I'm going to read from my phone real quick. Violent crime is a public health concern, and we should treat it as such. With the current global pandemic, instead of using our resources towards finding a cure, we rightfully focused our resources towards finding a vaccine right away to prevent more death in our communities. We saw and experienced millions of lives lost, but knew that an equitable solution to an ongoing problem was to understand it and try to change its course rather than to watch it take more lives and wait until people die to try and fix it. In the same sense that we strengthened our offense with COVID-19, we need to do the same with violent crimes in Indianapolis. We need to see that most violent crime in our city stems from an age-old system built for black and brown people to fail, and that we should do our best to tear down the system and build up the communities that it broke. If you vote to give the IMPD half of the budget today, you vote for defense, and you're waiting on people to die to care about them again. And most importantly, you vote against this community. Stop criminalizing everyone. I'm sorry. I got really emotional. Sorry. I know. But I'm just saying that if you really care about the community and you want to see everyone get better, we need to stop wasting our money on cameras and start spending our money on things that can actually prevent people from committing crimes, help people out with housing, help people out with mental health support, and all of that. So thank you.
All right, very good. Thank you very much. Additional comments from councilors? Councilor Jones, did you have a comment you wanted to make? All right, very good. There is an amendment on the floor to proposal number 182. If there are no additional comments, I'd like to take a vote on that amendment. Sorry, that motion fails 20-5. Is there any additional comment on proposal 182? Chairman Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. President. My position remains the same as the amendment fails. I'd ask my colleagues to support proposal 182 as we work very hard with the administration, with IMPD, our community partners to address the issues of domestic violence, mental health, juvenile trauma, and also some of the requests of IMPD as a comprehensive proposal. So again, I'd ask our colleagues to support the proposal. As it passed out of committee 11-0, I'd like to get a unanimous support tonight as well. Thank you, Mr. President.
All right. Councilor Hart.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to make a few comments. I do have a few reservations about proposal 182. Some of the members of this committee may know that I've been working on a proposal that really outlines the accountability and transparency of the dollars that we are spending towards reducing violent crime. And I see these additional appropriations in the same fashion that, we continue to spend and appropriate dollars towards a specific initiative, but yet our crime rates continue to rise. So I'm starting to lose confidence in the expenditures that we're creating, and I feel the same with this. And so, I want to believe and I want to put my trust in the chief of police that he's been a person who has worked in this role as chief and as every way up to it, that he has the best regard for the position and knowledge and knows the expenditures of how they're going to better the city of Indianapolis. But, with this, we're on track to spend, over $20 million in the last 5 years towards reducing violent crime, but we're not doing it. So I will support this proposal, but just know that I am very reluctant on the dollars that we're spending because we are not getting the results that we need. Thank you, Mr. President. I yield back.
Very good, Council. Council Mowry.
Thank you, Mr. President. While I support that IMPD has expressed the need for this funding, I am happy to support this in that effect. However, I look at this as more as an investment in the long term, considering the amount of time that it will take to get this into the community. I'm hoping that as a council body, as we move forward, we can start looking at more immediate measures to combat violent crime rather than what we're doing now. Hopefully looking at reallocating some of our funding to different areas to help combat violent crime. And I would even be interested in welcoming some of these folks from the people that we've heard this evening to let us know what their idea is to combat violent crime. And I would very much so support this proposal, but as a long-term investment rather than a short-term solution.
Very good. Councilor Renee.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd just like to say that when we take a look at what's going on in our city, it's a sad situation all around as it relates to crime and violence. And so I believe today that we must bring a coalition of stakeholders to the table. That includes Marin County Prosecutor, includes Marin County Sheriff, City Councilors, Mayor's Office, and others to address the problem. And while I believe this money is providing potential long-term solutions, I don't see it as providing immediate relief to our citizens that I just noted. So I believe that gunshot detection systems, the license plate readers, as well as the 24-hour staffing of the Arrestee Processing Center and ceasing automatic low bonds for repeatedly convicted felons for all new Level 6 felonies charged is essential in reducing the violent crime in our city, taking folks off the street who should not be on our streets, and trying to provide the immediate relief that our citizens are so desperately asking for. I yield back.
Very good. Councilor Bain.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to share the same views as the fellow councilors that just spoke, because I have some concerns with this as well. You know, it doesn't even come close to begin to scratch the surface of the public safety crisis that our city is facing. You know, even that's even the same language that the administration has used. They acknowledge this is a public safety crisis, but yet this is the plan. And I really hope this is just the beginning of the plan and that we'll see some new, bold, fresh ideas coming from the administration in the coming days and weeks. I want to thank Councilor Inay for his amendment that was at least proactive in introducing some new proposals and strategies that we can do. And I know IMPD is going through a lot right now, and I just want them to know that on the southwest side of Indianapolis, the district I represent, you're more than welcome to come to my community at any time. Thank you.
Very good. Councilor Ethan Evans.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I just want to say I appreciate some of the comments heard today, and also would agree we need stakeholders in the conversation from the community point of view as well, because they are the ones who are going to be affected by our investments in the community, long-term and short-term. And I wanted to just push back a little bit on some of the investments brought up about the gunshot detection system, and that any investment we make in regards to those technology systems is going to be, by definition, a longer-term investment by default because of how long it takes to install the systems and the coordination it would take with the other systems they defined with the readers, the cameras, and everything else that the deputy chiefs and the other chiefs also told us about today. But that doesn't mean that a longer-term solution isn't what we would need, and that doesn't mean that you are against public safety if you are saying you're going to be for a longer-term solution in our community. That just means you're going around it in an alternative solution. You're going to be funding the community in ways that have longer-lasting solutions to deeply ingrained problems that have been here for decades, and that is what I believe we need. Thank you.
Chairwoman Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I hear everything that the constituents are saying, folks in the audience, as well as my colleagues. And many of you may not remember, and some may be too young, and But there's a program called federal program Weed and Seed, and I think we need to get back to that. We weed out the bad and provide the seed was the programming part. And I think that's what we're hearing here today. What are we doing? If we're doing the seed, we're hearing a lot of seed part. But I mean, weed part, but what is the seeding part? And so we do hear you. There are many counselors who are advocating for that and working on that. And then I hear a lot of colleagues saying we spend a lot of money. $17 million for the metropolitan size of Indianapolis, folks, based on the studies, I'm just going to keep it real, is not a lot of money to spend on crime prevention or intervention. We have not done enough crime prevention and human investment in dollars, period. You can look it up yourself. You don't got to believe me. It's not enough money on the law enforcement end, nor it's not enough money for the community human investment side, either one. So there are some things we're going to have to take a deep dive, and the public's going to have to, and the taxpayers going to have to decide, what do we really want? Just like we did for Indigo, and we did a referendum, y'all ain't got to look at me. We're going to have to make a decision at some point. For Indigo, most of us pay $100 a year, and that's about $56 million a year. I did the math. If we pay about $46 a year, that's about $34 million a year. That could take us a whole long way if we really want to hit on the police and law enforcement side and that C side, that programming community, mental health, domestic violence, putting some money, seeing some centers and some stuff we want to see in our community. I'm in a food desert. I'm in District 14, Far East Side. Y'all don't heard of it. We got to take a hard look at what we really want to do. I'm hearing y'all because I live it every day. I live on the Far East Side. We got to live in our districts. So I hear the complaints and I understand. And I hear what y'all saying. So, and I agree with a lot of what y'all saying. I'm not saying I don't disagree. So we got to come to the middle of the road and we got to take a hard look at what it is we really want to do, both short-term and long-term, to get to what we want to do for our city and to stop this violence that's going on and this crime in our city. So that's just my comment, my feedback on that. Are we spending enough? I'm just going to tell you the truth. Look it up yourself. To this point, to this day, on either end, we have not spent enough for a city this size. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairman Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to echo Councilor Chairwoman Jackson's comments just so you know that $17 million over the last 3 or 4 years is about $4 million a year, which is 0.3% of our budget. So as crime being the priority of our city and crime reduction being the priority of our city, we've only really spent 0.3% of our overall budget on crime reduction. So I'm going to echo her comment. I said we need to spend more, much more on crime prevention. Thank you, Councilor Chairwoman Jackson.
Very good. Additional comments from councilors. Councilor Hart.
Yeah, that $17 million over 4 years, that's referencing one small agency within the office of OPHS. That's not the entire expenditures for trying to reduce violence. That's just the violence reduction team. So we spent a lot more money. I'm saying that the dollars we are spending, we're not getting value for those dollars. That's the problem. We can spend the money, but let's get something for it.
All right. Additional comments from councilors? All right, seeing none, I will ask if there's anyone in the audience who would like to speak to Proposal 182. And I want to remind everyone there is a two-minute time limit. I'm sorry. Please proceed, sir.
Great. Hi, my name is John Boggs. I live in the North District. North District is about 200,000 people in Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department. It has 200 officers. Cincinnati, same size, has about 1,100 officers. So you kind of look at, when you look at budgets and you start looking at the amount of police that are out there, it's something else. I'd also like to read you a couple of statistics. In 2020, Indianapolis residents made a total of 928,810 calls to 911. That's an average of 2,544 every day, average of 106 calls every hour, or 1.8 calls every minute. So when you talk about defunding the police and you're saying, you know, I don't know how many of you have ever ridden with the police department as a beat officer, but it's a whole different world out there than what's portrayed in the decisions you have to make and the professionalism that these young men and young women do. There was also 416,062 non-emergency calls. So your responsibility, this is just in Indianapolis in the year 2020. So almost, you know, if you look at the totals, almost over a million phone calls that your residents hear that you're responsible for deemed it necessary to call 911 and report something or report something for somebody else. These calls were answered by 911 and transferred to the police department, the fire department, or the right EMS. And the citizens deserve this. They deserve someone to answer their concerns when something is happening that is dangerous to them or to their neighbors or to something they see. I think that is very important. And I zoomed in on the last council meeting and was watching it. And, you know, when I hear people talk about defund the police or do this, I mean, seriously, who are you going to call if you can't call them? You're going to call Ghostbusters? You know, anyway.
Thank
it
you,
seems
sir.
Like there's a lot of money approved for these other programs, but I would like to see some vetting
Thank you,
that
sir.
Says how is this money being spent and what results.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again. And I apologize. I didn't know that we were talking about the amendment last time. I didn't know that we weren't talking about the full proposal. So I won't repeat everything I've already said. And the only reason why I told you who I am and what I'm about is so that you know I'm just not some yahoo walking in off the street who doesn't have any experience in crime, in the area of crime and community safety. But my main point here is there are two words that stood out that caused a crawl for us, investments and balance. When you invest something, you expect to get a return. This proposal doesn't say what the return is going to be. They used a lot of nebulous and vague language about, you know, systems and stuff like that, but it doesn't really say how is it going to get to preventing crime. And balance, as I said, when looking at the overall numbers, IMPD is getting 46% of this money. And 11% of the money is going to community-based programs. That's not balance. And so I just want to close by reading another quote. And some of you are going to understand where this came from. Our neighbors and loved ones are not dying for a lack of committee meetings. They're not dying for a lack of concern or care. They are dying from a lethal combination of untreated trauma and mental health issues, addiction, deprivation, and ready access to guns. If we want to have a true impact on violence in our city, we have to be ready to face the true root causes. And I quote Chairman Leroy Robinson from his comments. And I would just say, we need to see how people use guns as a means to an end and focus on the motivations for using the gun. Could be everything from need to greed, mental illness, or just plain evil. In other words, we need to find out what's driving people to get and use guns. Please consider either reallocation of portions of this money or putting some additional funds toward youth programming. Thank you for your time and your attention.
I don't know how germane he was, Mr. President, but, you know, I have never came into this chambers that's supposed to represent our city and felt such embarrassment for my people and the dynamics that exist in this chambers tonight, where my people are being used by white liberals to bring this issue forward. They use them just like they use them during the civil rights era to make them destroy their own community.
Sir, Mr. Vaughn. Mr. Vaughn.
Everything derogative.
Point of order, Mr. President.
Black people are being used. Our skin, our plight is being used by these white liberals who have assembled here tonight. They don't have any stake
point
in the
point
game.
Of order, point of order.
They're
Mr.
trying
President.
To collect money off of misfortune. Thank you, Mr. President. That's
Very good.
You're being used by whites.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ashley Gervitz again. I'm just going to come up as a community member. and just giving the emphasis of the work as a volunteer, my heart, my love, my passion. Every single day we're talking about 46218, 46226, and 46205, my daily interactions. Now, I share that to say that I really hope wherever you fall as far as this idea, that hopefully with Proposal 182, we see this as an intersection as far as getting down to the deep-rooted cause as far as what we see with why we're saying defund police. But on the other side, that we have to not ignore the fact, and I might not have everybody agree with me, but I think about this all the time. We are resource-rich, but systems poor. And we got to be able to have the data to be able to back up the feels. I'm tired of going to scenes where we got law enforcement there trying to navigate. I need more community members to join us in making sure we're getting them to the resources to help them. And I share that to say, you know, I don't want us to miss what Section 3, actually, let me go back to this. Section 4, 1.11 million that we have for the Office of Public Health and Safety. It specifically says it verbatim, funding community program initiatives related to domestic violence reduction, mental health, and juvenile intervention rehabilitation. Again, this is not the end all be all, but if we can all come together, and I'll say to Councilman Nay and to other members that may see different, we wouldn't all be packed in this chamber right now if we all had our answer. So if this 182 can be that introduction to us find it, let's do that. On top of it, one more second. I was out there marching. I was out there. I just came from the complaint board. I hear it on all ends, but we really got to be in a position to understand what we are doing with our taxpayer dollars to be fair and impartial. And my last thought of this is, as we continue to see new investments to come in, it is also a responsibility as members of this community, when big business wants to come in, what's our social and corporate responsibility?
Ms. Gervitz?
To give back. So thank you for that.
So now to talk about the proposal itself. As an organizer here in the city, I've organized in every township and every excluded city in the county. I've talked to hundreds of poor and oppressed working people in this county, and not a single one of them has ever been helped by the police. Not a single one. But a large portion of them have been personally targeted by police, personally hurt by police, myself included. I have faced transphobia by IMPD officers who look like the ones just in this room. Transphobia, transphobic slurs at me. And you want to fund that? You want to give more money to that? So if you're really talking about violence, which on the IMPD's own website, they admit that with increased funding, it doesn't actually decrease violent crime, which is kind of a boogeyman anyway. But it does exponentially, literally exponentially, it's an exponential curve of increased police violence against unarmed people in the city. An exponential curve of police violence, not violence in our poor and oppressed communities, but police violence against them. So if you really want to tackle violence, instead of funding the police, which won't do anything, tackle the real issues. House the homeless. Provide mental health to people who have been denied mental health. Provide housing to trans and gay kids who have been kicked out of their homes. Provide decent and dignified jobs to the thousands upon thousands of people in this county who do not have them. And not minimum wage, decent jobs that can actually pay the bills. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about violence? Talk about the violence that's been put on us, not this fake made-up violence that is supposedly happening on our part.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Do the hair.
I do want to talk about the previous speaker that was up here. I don't know your name, really don't care to. You're speaking from a place of privilege when you say, who are we going to call, Ghostbusters? I'd rather call them or call on Jesus than to call IMPD, because I'm at risk of being shot. So that's all I'm going to say about that. And then also I want to speak about the shootings over July 4th. I don't celebrate that holiday. So we have a police department. Did they prevent these crimes?
No.
Oh, thank you. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, it was how many shootings? 16, 18?
18?
18 people died? Okay. Okay, so they're not preventing crime, so I'm not understanding why. They're even saying they don't want the money, but some of you guys are trying to still give them money. So help me understand that. Like, yeah. Defund the police. Defund us. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Andrea Cernich, and I'm a citizen of Marion County, and I appreciate the effort to add this opportunity to IMPD to help our city get better. And I come from a perspective of just a normal citizen. I appreciate all the perspectives that everybody has shared and the passion and empathy and sincerity from everybody who's spoken, because every voice is important. Every perspective is important. I want to thank IMPD tonight for the times that they've come at a moment's notice when I've called because the pimp across the street was bashing a girl's head into a car and into the street to the point of near death, and how quickly IMPD came. And every time they came, when we called, when somebody was driving down our street, walking down our block, shooting at our homes, I want to ask that there be accountability for this funding, that they might be able to increase the receptivity or response times for 911 calls, so that the next time my neighbor shouts at me from her home to call 911 because of a domestic violence incident, I don't go into a hold service for her. I also come from a perspective of working in the domestic violence sector in this city, and I know that there is severe trauma and severe danger for everybody involved, for the victims, for the families, the neighbors, and certainly for our first responders. And I hope that this money will help them help IMPD find a way that they can better assess, address, and train and respond to those situations. Because every time I drive down 34th Street near Crown Hill Cemetery and I see that sign that remains that says, Baker 321, rest in peace, we'll take it from here, I think of Officer Brianna Leith and the danger that she faced that day that she lost her life and the day that her son lost her mom. I thank IMPD for all that they do, that we don't have to do that. I know that's not an easy solution, but I thank you for committing this money to them.
Ooh, child, to be white, man, must be a privilege. Okay, well, my name is Kyra. I'm with 8010 Black Lives Matter. I'm pretty sure y'all seen me before. I was out in the summer getting my ass whipped by IMPD, and we had made very clear demands. I've been doing this for 7 years, probably longer than some of y'all been in this seat. So I want to talk about what violence looks like. Violence looks like a lot of different things. Somebody talked about food deserts. That's violence. People not being able to go sleep somewhere in a bed, that is violence right there. So what you're going to do today is commit an act of violence. You are no better than the people that you call criminals. You keep locking them up, and they keep getting out and doing the same thing because they don't have nowhere to go. They don't have no resources. Try something else. What the hell y'all going to do when these people can't feed themselves? There's a global pandemic and crime has went up because people can't feed their families. And you guys don't even give a fuck.
Ma'am, it is so crazy.
Kyra, the community has spoken.
Madam,
we have spoken.
Madam,
we pay y'all.
Madam.
That is violent. No, Bob, I'm not done talking.
No.
You're going to listen to me.
But you're done. Hold on a second.
Anyways, like
done,
I was saying.
You're done cursing.
It's going to be violence. What y'all going to do? Arrest me? Well, you gonna arrest me? Like I said, what y'all gonna
do?
This is violence right here too. This is violence right here too. You gonna call your pigs on me? That's what you gonna do?
Just no cursing.
Bye.
Just no cursing.
And don't. No.
No one's trying to arrest you. Just no cursing up in here.
Point of order.
We're on the police. We're on the police. We're on the police.
All right.
Everybody out who is making noise. Can you please escort the folks out?
Right. My name's Sam James. I'm a...
Yes.
Point of order.
Right. My name's Sam James, and I'm here to talk about the idea that crime is the worst it's ever been this year, because that's some nonsense that I hear from white folks every single year in this city. Every single year in this city, crime's the worst it's ever been. I've lived here almost 30 years. It's always the worst it's ever been, disregarding the unreliability of that kind of data, how you crunch the numbers, how you interpret those numbers. You could say anything you want it to say, depending on how you look at it. Disregarding that, every year it's the worst it's ever been. Why are we continuing to do the same damn thing we've always done? Pouring millions of dollars into the police budget, kicking out black women who say things you don't like? Unacceptable. This is not a body that represents the people of this city. And you should all be ashamed of your participation in this.
Ma'am, thank you. Hold on. Wait a minute. Everyone, just a moment before you come up here. You are free to say what you would like to say. One, you're not bad-mouthing someone. And two, you're not cursing in this room. And if you can't do that, step out. Let it be clear. And next comment, let it be germane to the proposal. Step forward.
Hi there. My name is Kerr. I am a Riverside neighborhood member. I hadn't planned on saying anything tonight, but something that I'd like to ask you guys to all think about yourself is, why is it that big emotion from black women makes you uncomfortable? Why is it that the truth makes you uncomfortable? We do not need more policing. I also agree that I think the most effective thing is abolishing the police, but defunding is a good first step. We heard at length someone, I don't know anyone's names, I apologize. Someone on this floor did talk extensively about how we keep spending so much money and sending money all the time to IMPD, but we keep seeing crime escalate. Similar to what Sam just said, why are we continuing to try the same thing over and over and over again, and if it's not working? What we need is community care. And I did want to make a point onto the technology, that we do not need technology and AI technology in the hands of the police. I don't know if this is common knowledge, but I would like to acknowledge an experience I had with an IMPD officer. They're coming around door to door for people that have Ring doorbells to ask for access to viewed surveillance at any time for the neighborhood. That's really uncomfortable for me, so I don't understand why there's even a proposal to add more money for technology that they're already getting access through personal devices. We need to invest in community care. I've heard a lot of people express concern on mental health, drug abuse, and homelessness. We need trauma-informed care, and we need to defund the police.
Hello, my name is Jonathan Howe. I'm a lifetime resident of West Indianapolis, business owner for a decade, and president of the West Indianapolis Neighborhood Congress. As I sit up here today and I listen to everybody talking, it seems like that we're hearing passion from both sides, and everybody agrees on the same thing, is we're trying to prevent crime. We're trying to heal our community. We're trying to impact this city in a positive way. Regardless of whether you think each person's perspective is correct, we have the same goal. Some people, it's all about funding, though, right? Some people think youth. Some think parks, community centers, IMPD, mental health. Funding is always a part of this debate. And yet, there's one simple fact. Every time IMPD gets more money, more people die. This is a fact. As IMPD budget has increased, people have died. Now, is that their fault? No. But have they provided a solution? No. All right? So the question is, how can we heal as a community? Every suggestion costs money. And tonight's the perfect example of why we are in this problem, because the Crown has allowed us to speak on 97%, I mean on 3.03%, 3% of what's being spent by the city tonight. 97% we don't get to speak on. We don't get a chance to even speak on $135 million that's going to corporate welfare for Elanco. That money is defunding our communities. As these people talk about the danger of defunding the police, no one's talking about the defunding of our communities tonight via TIFs, via tax abatements. Leah did a great job, or not Leah, the other lady that spoke from that was a community member, was talking about the responsibility of corporations. We're doing nothing with this TIF money and with these abatements to hold them responsible to help curb crime and heal our communities. We are defunding our parks, our community centers. My neighborhood has no programming in the community center. Both of their pools are closed. Our parks are deteriorating. Our infrastructure is deteriorating. We're giving 25 years of our taxes to a corporation who made record profits and whose CEO got over $10 million in compensation this year. That is the problem. We are defunding communities.
Hi, my name is Amanda Shepherd. I am a Northeast Side Indianapolis resident. Most people who know me as an environmental activist and may wonder what the connection might be between that work and this issue. But the truth is, we know we can't win on any of those issues without defeating white supremacy. And I know that I've benefited from this white supremacist system for my entire life. And it's far past time for true liberation for all, not just people who look like me. We have to shift priorities away from this punitive system as it currently exists and toward investment in the things that actually keep communities safe, like high-quality housing, education, access to the healing impact of nature by funding parks, and access to quality mental health care. Part of my mission in this work that I do every day is to fight for safe and healthy communities, and this includes safety from police violence, which can only be furthered by additional funding. So I ask you to please oppose Proposition 182. Thank you.
I'd like to reiterate what a lot of people have already said, specifically my friends who were kicked out. But to address the first gentleman who spoke, defund the police does not mean get rid of all sort of funding, all sort of response to crime. It means you need to reallocate these funds to the community. It's evident. There are hundreds of years worth of evidence to show policing and imprisonment aren't solving the issues of crime. I mean, and concerning the statistics about the number of calls that come in, so many of those do not need to be addressed by police. I mean, they're mental health professionals. There's the fire department. There's all these other departments that are better suited and are less violent than the police. And I think the primary issue here is that you're all confusing prevention with punishment, because our prison system isn't preventing crime. It's just punishing people and putting them out of sight so the rest of the community doesn't have to worry about them. And the people who are being imprisoned are largely black and brown people. I mean, how do any of us have the right to be free when there are people being discriminated against and falsely imprisoned? Also, to touch on another issue that was brought up, domestic abuse. A higher percentage of cops are domestic abusers than the general public. So who's really the issue here? Thanks.
Hello, my name is Chino Simmons. I really don't know any of y'all. I really don't care, because clearly y'all don't care about us. But I am a statistic, you know what I'm saying, as far as in growing up here in Indianapolis, Indiana. And to be honest with you, I've watched, you know, the people, you know, chant that they wanted to defund the police. I support that. As she just said as well, it's not just taking away the police, period, as some people may think. It's just, you know, putting those funds where they need it. I just believe that you guys need to listen to these people that care about the community that they live in. And if you guys claim that you care about the community, then you should listen to them because they're actually living in the community as we speak. All right, yeah, have a good one.
Hello, everybody. My name is Everlyn Wells, and I'm with the Liberation Center today, the Indy branch in specific. I just wanted to address everyone today, and I thank you for coming. By all the things that have been said today, I, as a person who does live in these terrible conditions, these food deserts, these areas where trash is thrown down, and I'm a college graduate, by the way, and not many people get that opportunity. And what we want to see is for individuals to be able to have more access to education, food, water, and clothing. And a lot of individuals are seeing this funding and seeing our communities that are, you know, historically been trashed and violenced on by not only just the police, but violence that has existed because there is a lack of resources there for individuals of color. So the ways in which you want us to act better, because I do act better, but if you want other individuals to stop drinking, smoking, doing crime and violence, you have to feed them. You want to stop black women yelling at you and doing all this vitriolic stuff, you have to feed them, you have to educate them, you have to clothe them and give them water and shelter every single day. Because this system that we're inheriting today, it really doesn't solve our fundamental issues, which causes these problems within our community. So if you want us to act calm, I really beg you to consider the fact that these individuals, they come to you in hunger and with trauma and with mental health issues. And funding the police are going to increase those problems instead of actually solve those problems. We know this because individuals like me are targeted constantly. And I shouldn't have to walk in this building and feel like I am trapped by individuals who have historically made me a statistic. Thank you.
Hi. I would like to address you all from the perspective of a citizen. I live in Indianapolis, Marion County, and I am also a part of a non-for-profit organization that works to strive for social justice through policy change and raising awareness. So I wanted to speak on this proposal because I believe that a lot of what IMPD does and to increase the public safety that they can offer doesn't require more funding. People have shared stats tonight about how increasing the funding can actually increase violence or doesn't affect it at all. But I think that more importantly, we need to focus on the reallocation of these funds because there's things that do not even take funding. For example, my organization has been looking at the general orders of IMPD, and we've revised 9 of them to increase public safety, community, and police relations, as well as to protect constitutional rights and human rights of individuals. We plan to present them next Monday to the General Order Review Board. And we've also been making strides in other directions surrounding the public health and safety issue. So we've started a grocery prescription program to address some of the food insecurities in the food deserts. That is something that requires money, but like I said, not everything requires money, and I look forward to a continued partnership with IMPD. They've been responsive throughout this process, and I appreciate just beginning to learn the way our city works. Thank you.
Sinclair Williams, resident of District 17.
property taxpayer on residential and commercial properties. As far as what Proposition 182 plans to allocate towards technology, that's what I would like to speak on. The fact that we're spending or planning to allocate more money towards labor than computer programs is quite scary, in my opinion. In the age of machine learning and AI, artificial intelligence, we're spending more on data analysts. If the programs the analysts are utilizing are subpar, we know the results we're going to get. So this is more spending without thinking. It's quite frustrating. I decided to build in downtown Indianapolis a year and a half ago. Bought the land from the city. Went out, got an architect. Invested over $600,000. I expect, maybe crazily, for some help and support from the city. When I see paper tags on the streets driving around for over 12 and 18 months, that's not helping the city. When I see that there isn't enough patrol officers on the beat and we're spending more on data analysts, that's not help. Think about it, guys. Think about it. Thank you.
Very, very good. Are there additional comments from councilors on Proposal 182?
Hey. So long as we're here. Hi. My name's Marta. Mr. Robinson, I'm one of your residents. I just wanted to pop up here and just really quickly say that the women and femmes of Indy 10 Black Lives Matter have every right to their anger. And 1,000 reasons to be feeling it, and probably over the years a fair amount of reasons to feel a little disillusioned with this process and a little impatient with being here again and again. And yet they still show up. You see their anger. We see their dedication, passion. They're amazing. So I'd like to say that. And then also that it's interesting to me that a few of the people who spoke up here have challenged the chief's assertion that any of this will be provide immediate relief. It's not going to. Someone else talked about how, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit nervous. Talked about the thousands of 911 calls, and anyone, like, there are so many of them that are from loose dogs to mental illness, like mental health crises, to just any number of things that are not violent crimes. The police have too much on their plate, and they aren't doing it well. I'm real sorry I'm nervous, and I know we're at the end of this, but I would just kind of entreat you to think about how defunding the police is a catchy slogan, but it's not just, you know, a simplistic rose-tinted glasses. We aren't here just to stonewall everything you put out into the world and try to pass. I think that whatever solutions have been introduced tonight by the police force, they aren't it. Like, if you could just vote no and vote another day on some other measures to put that money toward that will actually make our city safer.
Thank you, ma'am.
That would be great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Councilmember.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to just to give us an idea of how crucial funding towards police is right now. In the hour we've spent talking about this, three people have been shot in this city. Three people have been shot in the last hour. that we've spent talking about this. It's time for immediate solutions, not long-term investments. And we need something to figure this out, an immediate solution.
Councilor Jared Evans.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think it's always difficult when a lot of our constituents and citizens come down and they feel like they're not being heard. And I just wanted to remark that a lot of us are very in tune with our constituents in our districts and talk to them. We do polls. So sometimes when our votes don't reflect the atmosphere in the room, it's because we've done our due diligence. We've talked to our constituents. We've done polling. And we've heard from our constituents on that issue. So I do want to comment that it's not that we're not listening. There's always opinions of the matter coming from other roles. And, Mr. President, I would also call the question to this.
All right. Councilor Evans has called the question. So, Madam Clerk, may we take this to the board, please? Calling the question on Proposal 21-182. Passes 18 to 7. So, Madam Clerk, if you can reset the board, we will take a vote now on Proposal 21-182. Councilor Gray. All right, Proposal 182, 23 yay votes, 2 nay votes. Motion, that proposal passes. The next item on our agenda is Proposal Number 183, referred to Public Safety and Criminal Justice Committee. Chairman Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Proposal 183, 2021. President, I'll hold.